Hey, NAIA football fans, Corey Thorpe here with another edition of the NAIAF Ball Podcast, powered by AdCraft USA, your custom apparel, merch, and uniform experts. Our friends at AdCraft have been with us for many years now. They've run web stores for us multiple times. These guys are NAIA fans and family who are experts in the apparel and merchandise world. AdCraft allows you to take the hassle out of ordering. Let their knowledgeable design and customer service staff handle everything from hosting the store online, shipping the product, and helping your customers so you can get back to the game. Find them online at AdCraftUSA.com. All right, NAIA football fans, this is Corey Thorpe back with another edition of the NAIAF Ball Podcast, powered by AdCraft Custom Apparel and merch, your experts in apparel, merch, and uniform since 1974. Fortunately, I am matless this week. Matt had other things to do this week with his actual job that pays money, helping the Portland Pickles, and so I have to play second pickle to the team in Portland. That's all right. This week we have a treat for you. We went over the Mideast last week. This week we take on the Mid-States Midwest and all the parity that lies inside the Midwest. Well, let's get to the getting. Let's get straight to it. The team with a new head coach, Mel Mills, the former director of player development at Purdue. Unfortunately, he's going to get 1 year to do this job because Trinity International, unfortunately, is going online only starting in 2024. I do not envy him in the slightest, having to lead a team for 1 year that knows that this is going to be its last year playing football at Trinity altogether. He has got an absolutely horrendously tough job, does Coach Mills over there. Last year, the Trojans were 1-11, 1-6 in the Midwest, 94th in SP+. Gave up about 6 1/3 yards per play on defense, good for about 95th. And the 57th offense, middle of the road there on their offense. We do have a couple of guys coming back, one on each side of the football. Wide receiver Cameron Jones was almost a 1,000-yard wide receiver last year for them. And Jeremy Walton comes back along the D-line. They don't have anybody leaving there in the Midwest there. And for their last year, what are we going to see? We return a majority of their offense, a majority of their defense. Man, it sounds so coach-speaky to me to have to look at my players and go, you know, we're gonna play for pride here. But that's about what you've got here. You are playing for pride for Trinity, as this is going to be your last year. You're playing to put highlight film on for your seniors that have put 4 years into, or even 5 years into, this school. How are you going to honor your seniors? And how are you going to put on film to try to see if you can find yourself another home, whether it be in the NAIA or elsewhere? That's going to be the task for Trinity, is to get good film and have one last run together as a team before they go their separate ways. It's going to be a tough road to hoe. I do not envy them at all. It's going to be tough doing that. Let's take a look at their schedule real quick. Let's see if they've got it up. Should have done this, you know, of course, before I got on. Does not look like they've got that schedule up. But again, just a tough road to hoe there for Trinity, and you know, just a weird way to start out the podcast. Obviously, with the team at the bottom, you start there, but you know, fight hard, Trinity, and make the alums proud. Next up are relative newcomers to the Mid-States. And that's going to be the Judson Eagles, 2-8, 1-6 in the Midwest last season. 31st ranked offense, a very nice showing there. Unfortunately, their defense at 96 with about 5.4 yards per play did not help them out there. They do have a lot of players coming back. They'd have some picks here on the offensive side of the football, obviously, with that good offense from last year. Brandon Mackey at running back, almost 1,300 yards on the ground along with 13 touchdowns. Novante Vickers, almost 700 yards of receiving and 5 touchdowns. Derek DeVries along that offensive line. And you're building that up there. You've got no all-conference players leaving. Let's take a look at what they've got in store for 2023. Again, this is a young team, so not a lot leaving. You return the majority of your offense, including your quarterback, Christian Miller, there getting the snaps. And you return most of your defense, including Clifton Hemerson there on the defensive line, Chance Cregeen on the linebacking core, and Mitrez Rawls in the defensive backfield. Headline that defense that has nowhere to go but up here for Judson. And it's time for Judson to see if they can continue to take that next step. Obviously, they're no longer in the basement. See if they can take another step here in terms of the Mid-States Midwest. It's definitely, if you can find your way through the conference, it is a winnable conference. If you put in the effort and show up there, the top has a lot of parity. Judson may be able to grow through it and in a couple of years see the profit out of it here. Next up on our tour de Mid-States is going to be St. Ambrose and the Bees. The Bees coming in 77th in SP. Plus 2-8, 2-5 in the Midwest. Not as good an offense as Judson, but a much better defense there for the Bees. And definitely a team that is growing, a majority of their offense returning there, and only losing 3 starters on defense. That's a really nice thing to have. In terms of all-conference, you've got Yemi Ward returning at wide receiver, 738 yards and 11 touchdowns. Israel Taylor at tight end with 183 yards and 5 scores of his own. And then look at that special teams coming back between Joe Namio and Jackson Hunsicker. Namio was 6 of 8 with a long of 48, and Hunsicker had a 36.2-yard average with a long of 54. Now, that special teams unit is going to have to find a new long snapper, Alex Noble. Is leaving the team there. Defensively, you're going to have to replace a nice piece in Zach Alberts. From the defensive back spot, 87 tackles, 5.5 tackles for loss, 5 pass breakups, 2 forced fumbles, 5.5 tackles for loss. Pick there. That's a big piece to fill. I definitely think that they can do it. Overall, they return a majority of their offense and their defense this year. Tom Casey's coming back as their quarterback. Caden King is coming back to fill that running back spot on the defense. DJ Ocean there on the defensive line. Rolando Sepulveda on the linebacking core. And Jake Strader in the defensive backfield. Headline that defense there. Look, St. Ambrose definitely has the look there, that very nice helmet that they've got. This is definitely a team that I think can get better than a 2-8 season, but you play in one of the hardest conferences in the land. It's going to be very difficult. Now, talking about very difficult, here's a team that I think may have outplayed their ranking a little bit. That's going to be the St. Francis Saints. 51st in SP Plus, a 7-3 team, 6-1 in the Midwest, and they're about as middle of the road as you can get in the SP Plus rankings. It's a scary thought. The St. Francis Saints team had a chance to go to the playoffs last year, and they are middle of the road. If you're St. Francis, this is definitely something where if you can bring back a lot of players and fill a lot of holes, you might be able to unseat St. Xavier. We'll have to see. Here's a team where the net yards per play is positive by a little bit here. About 85.85 yards per play, 87th offense, and the 31st defense. Now, how did they go about it? They had a lot of all-conference picks, more than I think anyone at this spot in SP+. And they're bringing back a lot here, including the brothers, Sam and Scott. Tumulty Tumulty, the defensive and return specialist, is coming back for a fifth season here. 75 tackles, 3 tackles for loss, interception, a pass breakup, and a kick return touchdown for Scott. And 1,249 yards, 11 touchdowns, 856 yards on the ground with 16 touchdowns there to go with it. You do lose an all-conference offensive lineman, first-teamer in Matt Knudsen, but you do retain a second-teamer in Ashton Sorge. This is going to be a team that could take a big step forward. If you take a big step forward offensively, there's a good chance you could do a lot of good things in this division. You've just got to be able to get points in key situations and to be able to replace some key players on defense. Ryan King, TJ Neal, Michael Whitney, Angel Mata, all big names there in on your defense, especially on your linebacking core, where TJ Neal and Michael Whitney are leaving. That's something that you've got to be able to replace. And so they do return most of their team. Desi and Jordan at wide receiver and Keenan Haley are coming back on offense at wide receiver and at running back, respectively. And on defense, most of your defensive line returns, most of your majority to most of your linebackers are returning, and a majority of your defensive backs return. This is a nice group here that could really, even more so, upset the balance in the MSFA. And look, they've almost done it each of the past 2 years. They've proven it. Now let's see if they can get over the top. That's going to be the hard part here as we get into this top of the heap. But we're going to be right back after this message from our friends at AdCraft.
So you want to create and sell custom merch for your team or business. That's exciting, but where do you begin? How much inventory should you order? How do you distribute orders? AdCraft has your answers. Streamline the way you offer custom merch by utilizing our risk-free web store service. We ship directly to each customer, and we have the fastest turnaround in the game. Raise funds for your team or get merch to your employees and patrons. Contact AdCraft today, and let's bring your merch to life.
That's exactly what they do. Join our friends at Grandview who order for them. Join our friends at Franklin County Florida High School, the school that John coaches at. Join our friends. I believe it was either Union or UPike. It was one of the orange ones. Women's basketball is doing it. They know the lovely job that they have when they work with AdCraft, and it's worth it. You hear me talk about it every week. They are the absolute best. So who's up next here coming into the top half of the NAIA? It's going to be Olivet Nazarene. Thanks to Olivet Nazarene for having a branding guide available so we can get a nice high high resolution picture. Got the word resolution there for a minute. They were 7-4, 5-2 in the Midwest last year, a team that was a bit of a disappointment for me last year. I thought they were going to do more. Their head coach, Eric Heyman, resigns, and a few of the coaches underneath him resign. Heyman is now coaching at a high school. I wonder maybe if there's some one of the coach's kids there in high school or some other factor than that. And so they have a new head coach, Mike Conway, who is also the old head coach and the athletic director there. So we'll have to see if the Olivet Nazarene Tigers can maintain that gold standard of play in Bourbon A. They were the 25th ranked offense, almost 6 yards per play, the 58th defense, giving up 4.75 yards per play. Good for 42nd in the NAIA and SP+. Got a lot coming back to the Tigers. Cam Crouch, Evan Leake, Brian Jenkins, Terrion Rainey, JT Price, and Jeremy Geske. That is 3 all-conference offensive linemen. That's a big deal for Evan Leake, who was almost a 1,000-yard rusher last year, was 10 yards shy. Cam Crouch, almost 2,000 yards passing, 22 touchdowns to 8 interceptions, needs to get the accuracy up a little bit with 47.2% passing. You got Brian Jenkins coming back, 920 yards and 12 touchdowns for Jenkins last year. So definitely a lot good coming back on offense. But leaving, you've got Jalen Dunnigan, who had 5 scores and almost 400 yards. You've got defensive lineman Josh Anderson, who had 9.5 tackles for loss among 28 tackles, and Drew Hampf, who had 74 tackles, 3 pass breakups, and 9 tackles for loss. But the future is bright for Olivet Nazarene as they bring back most of their offense. You heard me. They've got an all-conference selection at quarterback, at running back, and wide receiver. And that bodes well for the Tigers. Defensively, they bring back a majority of their defense, where Sean Outlaw headlines the majority of the defensive line that returns. Josh Miser headlines the linebacking core, and Vason Valoria headlines the defensive backs there as they try to get back into the playoffs here with a new head coach trying to upset a couple of the teams ahead of them. Next up is another short-timer to the Midwest. That's going to be the Roosevelt Lakers, their last year in the NAIA before they move up to NCAA Division II, the GLIAC. They have started that process and should have it done in time for that. So we'll talk about what that means for the Midwest there at the end of the episode here. But they were very good defensively, 13th overall in the land, 88th offense, but with 5.5 yards per play. Sometimes I look at that number of 88th and I go, okay, well, they must have played a lot of bad defenses that they were expected to do better against, or something of that nature, because that 5.47 shows me that they had some good games out there, and they have a lot coming back. It's going to be a two-pager here with Tyler Tenner headlining it at running back, 922 yards and 16 touchdowns. Elijah Bobo, the all-conference offensive lineman. Cortez Drapier, 39 tackles, 6.5 of those for loss. 2 interceptions, 2 pass breakups from that linebacker spot. Benny Harris joins him there with 56 tackles, 4 forced fumbles, 2 picks, and 3 pass breakups. A nice year for Harris there. Jalen Perkins in the defensive backfield with 6 picks and 7 pass breakups. Could have had 13 interceptions there. That's not a side I want to throw to. And Andrew Picaro, who was a second-team kicker and punter, 3 of 4 with a long of 25 on the kicker side, and 37.3 average with a 55 long on the punter side. Leaving, though, is a smaller list here. Blaze Griffin, though, is one that you're going to have to replace. Almost 500 yards receiving and 4 touchdowns. They do lose an all-conference, first-team all-conference lineman in Sal Gonzalez. And then they lose an all-conference selection at each level of their defense. Deontay Moorhead with 29 tackles, 4.5 for loss. Xavier Barnes at linebacker, 71 tackles, 5.5 for loss. And Clarence Davis, 35 tackles and 5 pass breakups. So where does that leave the Lakers? In pretty good shape, actually. Luke Wilson returns as your quarterback. A majority of your running backs return. We've already talked about Tyler Tenner. And then Gerald Calhoun leads your wide receiver core. Got a lot of that coming up and got a lot of growth that can happen between year to year. On defense, you've got a majority coming back on what was a really top-tier defense in the NAIA. Like I said, you do have a returning all-conference player at every level. You do lose an all-conference player at every level, but half of your defensive line returns. Most of your linebackers return, and a majority of your linebackers return. Sorry, most of your linebackers return, and a majority of your defensive backs return. That's a big deal. Roosevelt could really make a good showing here in their going away party in the NAIA in football, take it to the GLIAC, and have a really nice transition from one to the other. We'll have to see here what happens with the Lakers. And then we get to the top team, the team that has won the division for at least the last few years. That's going to be St. Xavier, the Cougars. Again, thank you, St. Xavier, for having a style guide, a branding guide available. We could grab the actual logo and props to whoever wrote that branding guide. It is phenomenal. You can't always say that about a branding guide. Usually they're pretty dry. This one was hilarious. 8-3 last year. Sorry, 9-3. 7-0 in the Midwest. They started off the year with a couple of losses and then just steamrolled the rest of the Midwest. If you remember, John and I were both ready to write off St. Xavier, but they just came roaring back, did the Cougars, and finished up with a really good year. 33rd in SP+, positive yards per play by almost 0.6 yards per play, 56th offense and 33rd defense. Let's see what they've got coming back. It starts with Mario Price at linebacker. Had 657 rushing yards, 228 receiving yards, which is more than most tight ends. Kyle Quinn coming back, 361 yards receiving. Alex Pavlov, Ron Carroll, a first-team selection, 91 tackles, 6 pass breakups, and 6 tackles for loss. Kevin Countryman and Tyler Barnett in the defensive backfield were just absolutely fantastic. Countryman especially, 6 picks, 12 pass breakups. Barnett had 1 pick and 3 PBUs. And then Nathan Tokar, the long snapper, is coming back. All-conference selection there. Leaving, you've got Justin Pringle. This is a big one here. Pringle, 882 yards, 10 touchdowns, a kick return touchdown, was sometimes the punter. That's a really, really big loss to have there for Stuart Ross and the Cougar offense. Jeremy Widmeyer leaves off the offensive line. Peyton Campbell comes back along with Jaleel Holloway on that is leaving. Widmeyer is also leaving. You lose Campbell and Holloway on that defensive line. Anytime you lose two of those, it's going to be hard, but the big one is going to be in your linebacking core. Joey Markosovic and Peyton Nigro were really, really nice pieces for you. Between the two of them, you've got nearly 200 tackles, almost 20 tackles for loss, 3 PBUs, and 2 interceptions. That's a big loss to your defense. You've got 4 all-conference players right there. Now, what does that say for them in the long run? They do return most of their offense. We already talked about quarterback Stuart Ross is returning. All your running backs return. Half of your wide receivers return. Pringle's going to be a big loss again. You do return a majority of that defense, though, although you do lose a couple of those players there. Amabami returns on the defensive line. Terry Elias, they are in the linebacking core, returning a majority on each position, and most of the defensive backs return for St. Xavier. So, what does that mean nationally? Last week, I debuted my very unofficial conference strength rankings, and this week I've got graphs to help you see what I was saying last week. So, the first half of this is average SP plus, the average ranking of each of the teams in your league. And as you can see, the Mid-South still reigns supreme with an average SP plus of 33.57. The Midwest slots in at number 9 there with an average of 69th so far, just ahead of the AAC. And so this rank is averaged with the standard deviation. As we see here, the Heartland North has the lowest standard deviation. The Midwest slots in at number 2, as we kind of expected. The Mid-States Midwest is a really tight league. They might not have the top level talent, but they are a very tight league from top to bottom. Now, you average those together, and here's what you get. The Mid-South still reigns supreme with an average strength of 3. So they average 3rd between the two rankings. Frontier, Heart North, and GPAC round out, and the Heart round out the Heart South round out the top 5 there. Now, I feel like I'm going to get a lot of hate mail here by saying that the Midwest is better than the Mideast. What I am saying is that they are very close, and that due to the tight bunching, really, of the Midwest as compared to the Mideast, that slots them in just ahead of the Mideast in terms of the strongest division in NAI football. But who are we picking? Who are we picking? Unfortunately, I was not able to get Matt's picks this week. I was a busy man this week. So here you have them all splayed out. I'm picking St. Xavier. They've got too much coming back, and they've got the experience to do it. I'm going with Roosevelt for the dark horse. It's a team that has not won the division, at least in the last 5 years, even when they were Robert Morris. And I think with 3 losses, I'll slot them in as a dark horse. John is taking them outright and is calling USF as his dark horse. I don't know if I can call... USF was my dark horse last year. I don't know that I can call them my dark horse for any longer. It's been 2 years running now that they've played St. Xavier with the Midwest on the line. Whoever wins the game wins the Midwest. Don't think I can call them a dark horse anymore. But that's who we're taking. And now it's time for me to tell you who I'm always going to take, and that's our patrons. They keep us running here at NAIF Ball. They are the best. They keep the wheels of progress turning, and they are DSU Cone, Darren, Bob Boone, Roger Meyer, Jeremy Vobble, Shirley Labella, Fred Christensen, Jerry Quickle, Ace Wellen, Marty Seabolt, Justin Cobb, Nick Ryan, Hayden Ferrigno, Kyle Gregory, Tyler Pierce, Justin Hoffman, Steve Speakman, Brian Shake, Julianne Shager, Nate Soapbeer, Stephen Cutler, Julie Lout, Tim Burrow, Dale Norton, Nathan Moore, Dylan Gonzalez, Ryan, and Jason Crawford. If you want to join this list, just head on over to patreon.com/NAIFball and join our merry band. Only $1 a month gets you on this list 1, and you know that you are making a difference in NAIA football. That's going to be it this week. Before we go, let's talk about the state of the Mid-States Football Association. I teased it a little earlier, and we noted that 2 teams out of the 7 here, because you're now missing Missouri Baptist, who didn't have another team to pop up there, so that is still MoBAP Stadium. You'll notice 7 teams in the Midwest. You take 2 out. Roosevelt moving to the GLIAC, and Trinity going to online only. That eliminates NAI football at both of those schools. You go down to six. So the Mid-States has decided to rejigger their divisions, and next year they will add St. Francis, Indiana, over from the Mideast to the Midwest. So I will no longer be able to just reference St. Francis of the Midwest anymore and have you all know that's Illinois. I'm actually still going to have to put the state in there. So that will be absolutely fun. It reduces the gauntlet a little bit for the Mideast, but I like the move. It brings in a contender for the Midwest almost immediately, and I think that's really going to push the other teams, your Olivet Nazarenes, your St. Xavier's, and the other teams in the bottom that don't want to get passed up, that want to make it into the top of that division. I think that drops in a really nice team that's on the come up into that division. I think that's a good move. The other team that was proposed was Marion, and I just wasn't sure how well that would take with Marion coming over. You know, you drop that team over there, and one of two things are going to happen. The Midwest is either going to really spin up and get great very fast, or Marion would drop back to the field, and I had a feeling that the latter would have been the case for Marion. For St. Francis, you're on an upward trajectory. It's a great spot to prove yourself and get back into the playoffs from the Midwest. I think it's a really good spot for them. I think it's a nice choice by the association to do that. So that's how it's going to come in from 24 onwards, as we're going to lose a couple teams. That does bring us down to 13. There's not many more hits the Mid-States can take before they're going to have to move back to one big division. If I'm the commissioner, if you bestow upon me a commissioner's hat and you let me run the show like I really would want to, that's a lot of stress. I'm going to try to look at some of these D3 squads from the Ohio region, see if I can bring them in and get them into the Mideast, see if maybe we can find some schools over on the other side to come into the Midwest. Maybe we find some D3 or a D2 school that really wants to move up and have a little bit better options for them in terms of pricing of the league. But you really want to get back up to that 14, give yourself a little bit of a buffer. We know good and well that the number of schools across the United States of higher education has been in decline for the past 10 years. And while the NAIA is adding new teams, they're also shedding a few. And I think it would be worth your while to find some possible replacements for some of these teams that are moving on or stopping athletics in some form or fashion. But what do I know? I'm just a guy on the internet. But that'll do it for us this week. Join us next week for the next conference, which, I don't know, may surprise you where they slot into our conference rankings. You'll have to see. Depends on your perspective, really. It might confirm a bias. I don't know. I don't know your biases. Only you know your biases. Don't let my biases be yours. But for the coach John Cooper and the ever hardworking Matt Schwartzler, I am Corey Thorpe, and we'll see y'all next week. We hope you enjoyed this episode of the NAIAF Ball Podcast presented by AdCraft USA. Be sure to contact them for all your custom apparel, merch, and uniform needs. If you enjoy the show, subscribe to the podcast as well as to our YouTube channel. Leave us a review if you're listening on Apple Podcasts. As always, if you'd like to support what we do, head over to patreon.com/NAIAFBALL and become a patron. We can't do what we do without our sponsors and listeners like you.